Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Today I'm continuing talking to business owners because when we have a problem in the allergy community, I always say, let's do something about it. Let's build something. Let's solve our own problem. And today I have Julianne Ponan on, who is a multiple award-winning entrepreneur. She is a virgin startup mentor. She is the CEO of Creative Nature, which is a superfood brand found in many superstores all over the country, and also a fellow grown-up allergy kid. So welcome, Julianne.
Thank you very much, Nina. It's great to be on your show.
Well, thank you for coming. So first up, I want to ask you, what allergies do you have?
Well, I'm allergic to a lot, so most people probably won't have as many as I do, but I'm allergic to all nuts, peanuts, chickpeas, lentils, gram flour, you name it, I probably have it. Even some perfumes I'm allergic to, which makes networking very difficult.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I'm going to be asking you all about this because having allergies and being in a professional environment, which you've been in, can be quite tough. And I know it's a problem that, or a challenge that people have because they want to have careers, but they're like, I've got all these allergies, how do I do it? So first up, I'm going to ask you, how long have you had your allergies since birth?
As far as I know, I can't even remember. So apparently I first had my first allergy when I was in kindergarten, which I guess I was like 3 years old, and my mum told me about it. So yeah, I think since birth.
And like, how have you found growing up with allergies? Like, was it a difficult thing? Was it just normal? Was it, you know, just something your mum dealt with or your dad dealt with?
To begin with, it was more sort of mum and dad, and they were very, very cautious because I was the first child as well. Uh-huh. So for them, seeing their child collapse in class and get called probably wasn't the best thing for them. I think I didn't want the fear, and that's what I had when I was young. I was scared of everything because in case I touched it and I'd become allergic, because unfortunately mine's through touch as well.
Okay.
So yes, it was more the fear I was scared of. And so it was quite hard, for example, eating lunch. I'd always have a packed lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'd have to sit separately because children were allowed peanut butter in school. So I couldn't sit with them, unfortunately, and that can make it quite lonely.
Yeah, and like, how did that change? Did your parents do something, or do you remember as a young child kind of thinking about it and deciding on something that you were going to do differently?
I think my parents sort of said to me, "You've got to live your life, and don't let this hold you back."
Mm-hmm.
And then I took that on board and said, yes, I'm not going to let this hold me back. I'm going to try new things. I'm going to learn how to bring down my allergy and use the EpiPen as a fail safe if I can't bring it down myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's taking on board and saying, look, this seems impossible, but I can make it possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to kind of say to the parents out there, so you've done, you know, primary school, you've done secondary school and school trips.
Yes, school trips were interesting, actually.
Okay, well, tell me about some. I'm sure there's a story in there somewhere, so tell me.
Well, I'm sure you must have gone to like Dorset and things with your school. And I'm sure the teachers probably hated the allergy child because they would have to carry the EpiPens. I think they just thought it was a problem, and I don't think they were trained properly in it. And I think that's what we should be fighting for, that teachers should be trained on how to cope with children with allergies. Mm-hmm. Because all they think is it's an EpiPen and just give you the EpiPen and that's it. But it's not. It's a whole sort of the sort of mind behind it and how children are dealing with it. They don't know how sad we can feel with allergies sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, for example, Dorset, I did have an allergy, and we couldn't work out what it was to, though. So I had an allergy, and they just didn't know what was wrong with me. So the teachers were running around, and I was just like, calm down, I know how to deal with this, which is not the way you want it to be, really. You want it to be the teacher calming you down.
Yeah, but it's funny that, because I've interviewed, like, I remember my own, like, I remember one time I was five. I have it so clearly in my mind. I was five, and I was teaching my, you know, the classroom aide how to use my inhaler and spacer, because I knew I needed it, but, like, she didn't know how to put it together.
She didn't know how.
Yeah, but I did. So, I mean, it's funny that it's, in some ways it's good because you just have the information and you know how to do it. But that's the thing. If you never have experience of it, you're not going to know to look for the information, or you don't have the need for the information, you're not going to look for it half the time.
Exactly. And you're at the end of the day, parents are putting trust in the teacher. Mm. So really, they should know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think we should start petitioning for teachers to get more training.
Yes, they definitely do. We should help them out. And so you've done school trips and you've been to university.
Yes, I did.
And I believe, was it UCL in London?
No. Oh, I've done a lot of talks for UCL.
Oh, right, okay.
And I just graduated from Oxford as well with the Goldman Sachs program, which was really exciting.
Wow. Okay. So you've done multiple undergrad, postgrad. And so how was university like with multiple allergies?
University was quite difficult, actually, with allergies. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go out. I wanted to have fun. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, when people get drunk a lot of time at university, and they don't take allergies very seriously. So, for example, when I said I was allergic to sort of Sambuca, because I'm allergic to aniseed, my friends thought it would be funny to just pour a little bit in my drink.
Oh.
And they didn't think it was serious. They thought I would just get a rash, maybe, and they thought I just didn't like the drink. But unfortunately, I had a huge allergy.
Oh, wow. And how... Actually, that's an interesting question that comes up. Like having, being allergic to an alcohol and then having an allergic reaction. What was your experience of, did you have to use your EpiPen at this point?
No, I didn't, luckily, because as soon as I tasted it, as soon as it went on my lips, I felt it because I'm quite good like that. So my lips started to swell up very, very quickly. Then I couldn't breathe. I got some ice, paramedics were called though. And they gave me an injection, but it wasn't the EpiPen.
Okay.
So, I managed to solve it that way. So that was quite good.
And then how did you, like, what happened with your friends after this? Cause obviously that's quite shocking for you, and I'm hoping for them too.
They were really, really sorry. They couldn't believe it. And a few of them were obviously crying because the paramedics were called, so there was obviously something seriously wrong.
But they
started to take it more seriously then. But then if you think about it, that's my own friend, so the public, other people, if my own friends can't understand, it's so hard trying to get other people to.
If you were thinking back on that situation, like, would there have been, like, I guess because hindsight is wonderful, that you can always think, oh, I would have done that differently, or I would have done this differently, or I couldn't have foreseen anything. Like, is there anything that you would have done differently in that situation, or the advice you'd give to other, like, teenagers and young adults who have got severe allergies and are in university and having this sort of situation?
I think I would have taken more time to explain to my friends about my allergies.
Mm-hmm.
I think I sort of always try and hide it. Well, mm-hmm. I used to anyway. Just because it's a bit odd, it was different. Not many people in my class had it. So I used to just ignore it, really, and just say, if, for example, they offered me something, I'd say, oh, no, I'm allergic to it.
Mm-hmm.
But not explain the full repercussions of being allergic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people assume, for example, they assume nuts can be the same as a gluten intolerance. but it's completely different.
Yeah.
So I think you need to understand each allergy individually.
Yeah.
And so I'd say to people out there who have friends, just take the time and explain to them that they will understand. But if you haven't bothered to try, you can't blame them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, I guess, feeling that anxiety and like worrying, because I've felt that too. Like, you know, you don't want to be the odd one out with an allergy and having to make people, you know, change the way they live to accommodate you. But sometimes it's just you have to, because
you have to.
Yeah. So when was the point that things changed for you? Because you said you used to want to hide it and keep it really quiet and not be the odd one out. But when did that start changing?
When I got to, obviously, university, after I had quite a few allergies there, I decided at the end of the day, I'm me and I can't change that. It's never going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the doctors said every 7 years it could get better or worse.
Yeah.
But mine just didn't. Mine just stayed.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, I thought, let's just be open about this and maybe I could actually help some people.
Yeah.
I also found a few other people. I wish I'd met you earlier, actually, because I could have known you, but I met some people who suffered from the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And again, they wanted to hide it. And I thought, you know what, this isn't good. This isn't right.
Yeah.
So I decided, actually, I'm going to try and maybe help some people and make my own snacks as well.
Yeah. Well, that leads us really nicely onto creative nature. And just before we go on to that, like, you actually, from my research, before we did this interview, you did a stint in an investment bank in Beijing, I believe, after graduating from university.
Yes, just a brief one as well. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting though, because I had to carry a card round with me saying no nuts.
Yeah, well, actually, they're coming out more now. Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, how did you, I've never been to Beijing. It's one of the, like, that side, I mean, I've been to India because my family are Indian. So I'm always chaperoned basically and always have someone who can translate for me if I need it. But China, like, how did you manage living in Beijing with your multiple severe allergies, which over in China they use peanut oil, they use nuts in lots of things, and just, and allergies just aren't a thing. How did you manage both living in a foreign, like an Asian country, but also managing it in a professional aspect?
Well, to be honest, it was hard because of the situation I was in, because banking is specifically, you have to do a lot of networking.
Mm.
You also have to meet a lot of people outside.
Mm.
And you have to eat with them.
Yeah.
It's called losing face if you don't in China. So for me, what I did was I carried around cards like that, and I had an allergy card as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to point at a lot of things. I also learnt brief words that could help me. And luckily my boss was American born.
Okay.
So it helped.
Yeah.
It didn't solve the problem, but it enabled me to sort of say, look, I can't go to every meeting and eat. I'm happy to go to certain ones and be there, but it I'm not going to be able to eat with you guys.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, it was, in terms of what did I eat, I used to have to go to the Western supermarkets in Beijing.
Oh,
a lot of the time.
I didn't know they had Western supermarkets and Asian supermarkets. Well, separate, different.
Yeah, they do, but it's like super expensive.
Yeah, but imported always is.
Yeah, so that's what I had to do. I buy a lot of things from there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I had my own apartment, so I was able to cook and stuff without the peanut oil and almond oil.
Yeah.
So that's how I really solved it. But it was, again, education to my boss and being honest, which I think is the best policy, really, because if you don't tell anyone, it could work out worse for you. Because I tried at the beginning not to say anything.
Yeah.
But that just, I knew it was going to get worse and worse, so I needed to speak up.
Yeah. And now you took, I believe you took over Creative Nature how many years ago now?
5 now.
Oh, wow. Wow. So that's quite a length of time. So tell me, what made you want to go into the food industry and take over Creative Nature?
Well, it was my allergies and seeing that I could make something free from, and help other people as well, get it easily accessible to them. And that's what Creative Nature is all about, making sure that they can trust us and that they can access it from regular supermarkets.
Amazing. And like, how's it been building a business? Because I believe you took over the business, so you had to fix the problems that were there already and then kind of move it forward. So how did that initial period of taking it over and starting to brand it and get products out there or test products go?
Yeah, so at 22 for me, it was hard. I'd never really run a business before. So it was quite difficult to just sit there and go, okay, this is the problem. But luckily I came from a finance background.
Yeah.
So I was able to look at the books, see that the company was in heavy losses.
Yeah.
What was I going to do to take it out, like cutbacks?
Yeah.
Also, the main point was changing like the products, making sure we were having a free from range, because they did things like incense candles.
Oh, really?
Buddha statues, everything. Yeah. So I basically took all of that away. And changed it all.
So how did you decide that it was going to be like a superfood snack and like now baking mixes company?
I decided mainly because of my own allergies and not being able to eat out a lot of the time. For example, I love the branding of brands like Naked, for example.
Yeah.
And the message that they're giving out is absolutely amazing. But
they've got nuts in.
How can I eat that?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'm all about being healthy and I'm all about lifestyle and everything, but it's got to be able to be I've got to eat it. So it was cutting back all the allergens, and then I decided to make it gluten free, even though I don't suffer from a gluten allergen. I saw that was a huge allergy in the market, and I think around 39% of the UK are trying to go gluten-free anyway.
Yeah.
So I decided this would be a really good allergen to make sure the bars are free from as well.
Yeah, because you've got bars. Actually, I did pick up a Creative Nature, I think it was the goji berry one. I was in Co-op and I was really hungry and I was like, I know what I can actually eat in this store that's quick. And I was like, well, I've met Julianne, so I actually trust her that she's gone through all the manufacturing and sorted it out, and actually the labels are going to mean what they say. So yeah.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. We test every single batch for peanuts to make sure.
Yes.
And I think that's so important.
Yeah. And you do have a peanut bar. I remember you do actually sell a peanut bar, even though you're allergic to peanuts.
Yes. I was like, that wasn't my decision. That was the team going against me. And I still think, though, we may look at doing a peanut bar as a nut-free one.
Oh, like using sun butter type options or...
Like... Yes. But something a bit more healthier.
Yeah.
So just to see if we can do it. But because, yes, everyone does love that peanut flavour, I've heard. So it's not the greatest. And I hate it because I can't even go in the factory that it's made. So it's difficult. But we do test every single batch to make sure that the others are free from peanut. And also we do swab testings on the line just to make sure that the line is peanut free as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So can you talk me through, like, when you're sorting out how to, like, your factory process or what, you know, rules you have in place? Because obviously having your own allergies, you are going to be so much more hot on making sure things are free from, because you know what it's like to eat something that's contaminated and then have a reaction. So obviously you're thinking in that mindset of your consumer.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why we also do things like gluten tests, because again, it can, at the end of the day, if people even like eat things that have oats in the factory, technically, I know it's like a under 1% that it could be contaminated, but it's important that we still test it to make sure that it's not. It may make the bar a tiny bit more expensive, but at the end of the day, people can then go to that batch and go, okay, yeah, I can see that's been tested from a composite sample. That means it's bars mixed together, so they know there's no risk of cross-contamination.
Yeah, you've got a random sampling so that people can know that it's not just one side, like the first few or the last few. that's great. And I think that's, I mean, meeting you, I think it was, it must be a bit over a year now at the November conference, the Food Matters Live. And hearing about the way you go about just making sure things are safe is really encouraging, because I know you've had this problem, you know, reading labels and looking at, oh, this has nuts in, or this has a warning, but then it's a blanket warning and you're like, what does this actually mean?
Exactly. And it's so difficult. I wish brands would just publish the tests. It would be so much easier for people to see, because then they can know, okay, yes, their staff are not allowed to eat nuts on site or something like that. They just know it very, very quickly. But yeah, I think the labelling issues are very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And brands just don't know what to say, when to say it.
Yeah. So talk me through your labelling. What do you, as Creative Nature Company, kind of use as your standard for when to use a warning and when not to use a warning?
Well, I think it's really important to be open and honest with the consumer. So, for example, we have a peanut bar in the range, and that's why we do the tests for peanuts. So, for example, we'll put on pack that the recipe is nut-free, and that's really important. But then it's up to the consumer if they feel that because we do a peanut bar, they can't eat it still. That's their own choice. But we give them all the information they need, and then it's up to them. And I think that's because I would, for example, if I can see everything and I can see that something's tested, I can see that it's a nut-free recipe, I will eat it.
Yeah.
But because that's my choice.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's about being vigilant as an allergy sufferer as well.
Absolutely. And just to put a pinpoint on the fact that it is your own choice. And it's your responsibility to be vigilant as an allergy sufferer and decide what risk am I willing or not willing to take, and then just owning that choice and then being prepared should you always carrying your medication and antihistamines and EpiPens and things like that, just in case.
Exactly. I just don't like brands that go, it's nut-free, and then they give me a cashew nut ice cream. And then I go, well, that's not nut-free. And they go, yeah, but it's peanut-free. And I'm going, yes, but it's got cashews in there.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I saw something the other day. It was actually in a supermarket, and I saw a product, and I was like, oh, this is new. It was, you know, you get the little bars next to the checkouts. And I was like, okay, this is new. The packaging looks really cool. It looks like a nice brand. I turned it over, and it said soya-free, dairy-free, gluten-free. And then, next to that, it had may contain or not suitable for. And I was like, you can't have a free-from label on it and then have a warning next to it, because that does not mean it's free-from.
No, exactly. No. Not if they've said soya-free specifically as well.
Yeah, I took a picture, actually, of it, and I haven't got in touch with them yet. But I just picked it up, and I was like, well, I'm not eating this, because they have no idea. And also, the supermarket had accepted that, and I thought, well, that's not very good practice, really, to accept something that's got conflicting information on the back of the pack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it just shows you have to check everything to make sure. So, sorry, you have something to say?
No.
Okay, so my next question is, what has been one of your favourite parts of starting or for developing Creative Nature?
Sorry, I didn't get that last bit.
What's your favourite part of building Creative Nature so far?
I would say the team has been incredible to build. We have some amazing in-house nutritionists now as well that have recently joined our team. And also getting, like, when you've actually, say you've had a bad day, and then, for example, I've been at a train station in King's Cross, and I've seen someone pick up my bar, eat it, and go, oh my God, this tastes really good. And then I want to run up to them and go, oh my God, that's my bar. But I can't do that, obviously. Otherwise, I'd look like a strange kid. But no, it makes you really happy, and it makes you go, there are people out there that really enjoy it, and that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. So yeah, that those are the couple of things that I'd say are really great.
Oh, amazing. And actually, I was curious. When have you made your allergy quite public with the people in the business in Creative Nature?
Yeah, we have a ban on a lot of products that come in the office. So if you come and work for me, there's snacks and all bought for you. You get lots of choice, but you don't get to eat any nuts or anything. Chickpeas are not allowed in the in our office either. But no, it's I think yes, I've made everyone aware, and because the whole brand is about helping people with allergies. So everyone that does like sort of work for us either understands allergies or actually suffers from them themselves, so they know firsthand.
Yeah. So is that being quite, for those people who haven't had allergies when they started working for Creative Nature, like, and obviously you're still a small company in that you're not like a huge conglomerate. So there isn't like, there isn't like, you know, the graduate schemes and things like that yet. But have you, like, I guess, do you do any sort of training for your staff, or do they at the moment, because it's so small, just more learn on the job and like see things through you managing your allergy?
Well, they do have an onboarding process.
Okay.
So where they're told about the allergies, and in the interview stage, we sort of make sure that this is very high priority, and that they understand allergies. Because if they don't understand the brand in the first place, what is like? I don't see the point in them coming on board, because we're all very passionate about the brand, and that's what I want to be building. I want to be building a community and a team that love and believe the brand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is always an interview process. We ask them, why do they want to work for us? Some of them, yes, say it's because I suffer from allergies myself, and what you guys are doing, I'd love to be part of it. And that's fantastic. Obviously, we're not going to say if you don't have allergies, don't work for us, because that's a bit crazy. But we obviously have to educate them and ask them if they understand the vision of Creative Nature. We also ask people to write a vision statement as soon when they join the company, and we see if it's in line with ours. And if it is, it's fantastic. And if it isn't, we've got some work to do with them.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's really good. And I guess that's really encouraging for any of you mums out there, because like, I guess educating people about allergies, you just have to start with one person who doesn't know anything. And then slowly, because it's more in the media, because it's becoming so much more common now with children, that it's like a ripple effect. And slowly, it will just, the more exposure people have, the more aware they're going to be and the more willing they are to listen.
Exactly. I think you're so right with that. I think it starts with one person, and all they have to do is tell two people, and you can make such a difference very, very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I want to talk a little bit about starting a business, a bit more technical, I guess, because I do like to encourage people, if you've got a problem or if you've got an idea for a product that's going to solve your need, it's probably going to solve someone else's, especially when you're a mum or an allergy sufferer. There are going to be people out there who have the same problem as you. So what, you know, starting a business or developing a business, kind of where do you need to start?
I think everyone needs to start with their product, what they're offering, whether it be a service, like you, for example, educating people, or an actual physical product.
Yeah.
And I think with the product that you're offering, it needs to have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be creating a solution for someone,
mm-hmm.
or helping the consumer get to the end result faster, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So that's where I'd say start. Then look at your audience. Who do you want to target?
Mm-hmm.
Home in on them as well, because at the end of the day, these are the people that are going to stay loyal to your brand.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make sure you get them right. We're constantly doing work with behavioral strategy people to find out, what does our consumer want? Who are mm-hmm. they? Like, what are their likes, dislikes, etc. So that's important. And then obviously it comes down to, when do you leave your job to actually go full time with your business? And a lot of my mentees always ask me this.
Mm.
And I never know the actual answer to give them, because it's got to be you that makes that choice. Like, you've got to be willing. No one else can tell you, and no one else can make you do any work. It's got to be your own belief and getting your product into the hands of the people you want it to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, so a lot of people say or think that businesses kind of suddenly, you know, get big overnight. Is that true, false, or why? Why not?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Good.
Unless you've won the lottery or you've got suddenly £1 million investment from someone that you, I don't know, sold your idea to.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know how. I'm all about building the business organically, and I did do it 100% without investment so far.
Wow.
And I believe that other people can do it too. Yes, you can get there quicker with investment.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that, like, doing it without investment in your sort of first, at least your first sort of 6 to 8 months, it gives you the drive, because you have no resource, so you have to be resourceful at the end of the day. And I think that when you do get some money in, then you know exactly where to put it, because you've thought about it so hard, and you know exactly what you want to do. But whereas if you're given a load of money at the beginning, sometimes you just spend it all, and I've seen businesses do that, and then they have to go for another round of funding and another one. So I think, don't be confused. Like, some people say to me, oh my gosh, you're suddenly speaking at the Houses of Parliament, you're doing this, you're a judge on Britain's Next Top Model, etc. And I go to them, do you know how long it's taken to get to where I am? I was like, for example, some people go, oh wow, 5 years, it doesn't seem that long. I was like, yeah.
To you it might, but to me, I definitely got the scars to prove it.
Exactly. So don't get disheartened. Like, I'd say to everyone, keep going. As long as you're one step forward than you were the day before, you're making progress. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And then how do you deal with those days where, like, you just feel like nothing is going right and you're just hitting a brick wall? What do you do in those situations?
Well, to be honest, in the last sort of 6 to 8 months, I actually did suffer from a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't the greatest time for me. And it was a test for me on how to get myself back up and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, for me personally, surrounding myself with other entrepreneurs. I call them my top 33%. People who are better than me, people that I can strive to be like.
Mm.
And that really helps, because at the end of the day, they've probably been through the same thing as well. So that helps, firstly. Then also, I found I was getting a bit, it sounds bad, but for example, Instagram looks so perfect.
Oh,
everyone's lives look amazing. And to be honest, that's not true.
Yeah.
No one's life is that perfect every day or every minute. And I realized that. I kept looking at Instagram thinking, oh, I'm not doing as well.
Mm.
And what I decided was, let me just take a break, not look at these things.
Mm.
And it helped me a lot. I'm not saying don't post on Instagram, because at the end of the day, it does help business.
Yeah.
But
no, but I think personally, you need to
take
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like comparing yourself to other people when you've got no idea what the background is.
And don't compare their end result to your beginning. Yeah, that's another thing. Because that's what I find a lot of people do, including myself.
Yeah.
I go, oh, look how far they're doing, not thinking about the years behind that they've worked to get there.
Yeah, it's like you wouldn't, like no one would, if you're at the beginning, compare themselves to Richard Branson. I mean, that would just exactly. be, I mean, that's like the most extreme example, but it's still the same idea. Like you couldn't, because how many years has he been doing it? Like since he left school.
And he's been through a few bad things as well. So.
Yeah, he's had a few companies go bust.
But he didn't give up. And yeah. I think that's what the main thing is. And I think if more, like women as well, more, if we all like sort of helped each other up and built each other up, it would be so much better.
Yeah.
And instead of competing constantly, that's what I find. I think if you actually want to build each other up, give each other the time of day, mm-hmm. we could actually make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And like, there are always ways that you can collaborate in businesses. Like, even if it's just, you know, just giving each other a little like nudge on social media or to share things. It kind of, even though, because I remember when I was kind of starting out, I thought, you know, my friends sharing it wasn't good enough. It always had to be people I didn't know. And like, but no one knows whether your friends know you or not. Like, other exactly. people are going to see it. And also, if your friends view it, like, believe in it enough to share it, like, it's still good enough. And like, they want to support you in that. And you have to accept that and be okay with that.
Well, look how far you've come since I've met you.
Yeah.
Put your own little book out and everything.
I know. It's going to be on Amazon in time for Easter, which is currently what I'm
I hope you get the bestseller.
Oh, yeah, working on it. So, yeah, everyone listening, make sure you watch out for it. I'll be letting you know when it all goes up.
Definitely. I'll definitely be on there.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, and I use coconut flour. I know you're allergic to coconut, but I add substitution suggestions.
Too. Okay, well, yeah. I'll definitely give it a go.
Yay. Well, it's all chocolate based, so yeah. Actually, I've been curious to try out your brownie mix, actually, in your products.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. I'll have to send you some.
Oh, I can't wait. So guys,
I'm biased, obviously.
Okay, so guys, watch out, maybe there'll be a review coming of the Creative Nature brownie mix. Yeah, so next question, and actually we're going to be wrapping up, is what is your favorite product at the moment on Creative Nature right line?
My favorite products, I've got so many.
Okay, top three.
Okay, so the salted caramel, definitely. It's like the perfect bar. I love it so much, but I eat it way too much. That's the problem, I think.
Well, you haven't got sick of it yet. That's good.
No, I just love it. I think it's too Moorish though, so but that's a good thing that hopefully everybody thinks that as well. And then the goji goodness, I've always loved that. That was sort of one of the first bars mm-hmm. that we did, and it wasn't one of the first things that went out there and was like, I'm really proud of it.
Yeah,
so the goji goodness, and then I would have to say the brownie mix, because mm-hmm. it's doing amazingly well in Sainsbury's. It's so easy to make. So literally you add two ingredients, and we've got vegan recipe on pack, which makes it very easy.
Yeah.
Put it in the oven for 20 minutes and you're done. It's so easy. And for people that like me that can't cook that well but have to cook with allergy free.
Yeah.
It makes it simple. Plus it's great for parties as well.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that sounds so good. And my final question to you is, what are your three top tips for someone feeling a little bit anxious about their allergies, but they really do want to start building their confidence? What are your three things you would tell them to do?
I would say follow people like you, people that want to like help,
mm-hmm.
and it will give you the confidence to say, like, if they can do it, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my first one. My second one would be, just be honest with yourself. Things are not going to change. Mm-hmm. So you have to live with this, and tell your friends about it. And thirdly, as you're having these problems, go out there and make a difference and help someone else like you.
Yeah, it actually does give you confidence. I think I'm more vigilant and I'm more confident with my allergy because I've been doing this podcast and running the blog. It really does remind you by helping other people that you need to help yourself too.
Exactly, because you can't just like preach it and not actually do it.
Exactly, exactly. It really does make me think a lot more, and it's actually been really good for me over the last few years. And also to teach my boyfriend about it as more as well. Because he always...
I think the boyfriends find it the hardest to sort of adapt. But
yeah, I think my mum was okay. I think it was when he bought chocolate covered raisins and then they turned out to be chocolate covered peanuts and he'd already eaten them, and then he turned up at my house and was like, so this has happened. And I just panicked, and it was the first experience we'd had together of dealing with anything that could remotely become a problem. That was the but it was all fine. And now we kind of have a system, and I don't, and for later. So yeah, maybe I'll do a little podcast on that.
I think you should do one about that. I think that would be really interesting to see how you dealt with it in a relationship, because that is difficult, because obviously you don't want to be, you don't want to be mean and say you can't do this and you can't do that, but it's important that they understand.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, everyone, well, I'm going to be doing some stuff on that, and maybe I will have done it by the time this is published. Because I am currently writing an article for Valentine's and all about dating with allergies, and had some good feedback on Instagram when I just put up, people give me your tips, tricks and questions. So yeah, I'll let you know when that goes live, Julianne.
Definitely, I'll have to share it on social.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This has been such an interesting interview, and I've learned a lot, and I'm sure that everyone listening will have learned a lot too.
Well, thank you very much, and hopefully I can send you a brownie mix soon.
Yeah. Oh, and where can people find your products and connect with Creative Nature on social media?
Okay, so the brownie and muffin mix are in Sainsbury's stores. We've just launched salted caramel goji goodness in Co-op, and also you can pick up all of our products pretty much in Asda. Also online on our website, creativenaturesuperfoods.co.uk, and please do follow us at Creative Nature on Twitter, at Creative Nature Superfoods on Instagram, and finally my personal one, which is at Julianne Ponan.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for joining me.
Thanks so much.
Okay. So that was Julianne Ponan, and I find Julianne actually quite an inspiration. We're about the same age, I think, and she is just, I mean, she took on a company that was failing, and she has just worked her butt off to make it work. And you know what, she is one of the people that I really trust when I'm like, okay, you've got warnings on your packet and you've put in there for a good reason. If it doesn't have a warning, I'm trusting it. And I do actually occasionally buy the Creative Nature bars when I'm running around and I don't have anything to eat, because I'm like, okay, I trust Julianne. I know she knows the problems with sourcing foods, and if these bars are safe for her, I know I can eat them too. I think all her advice as well about starting a business is so true. And it's also the things that you can take into your life when you're living with allergies. You're also the confidence and the skills you learn living with allergies is what you can take into your business. If you are someone who has an idea for a business, you've been thinking about it, you've thought, maybe I could do this, I could do that, or this would be really useful, there'd be loads of people out there. Why not just start? Just have a go, take a chance. It's not going to be an easy road, but you know what, you've lived with allergies, you have managed them, and I think, I'm not sure which one's harder actually, but I think they're both hard in the beginning. They both take work, they both take preparation, and they get easier. The more you learn, the better able you are to manage the problems that come up. So I can't thank Julianne enough for coming and talking to me. And it has taken almost a year, actually, to get this interview booked, because we met in 2016 at the Food Matters Life conference. And she has just been so busy over the last year We have had this interview booked, I think, 3 times, maybe 4 times. And just stuff has come up that meant that either one of us couldn't do it. And Julianne has just been so busy, as you said, like the products are expanding into more supermarkets, and getting into the supermarkets is not easy. So congratulations to Julianne. I am really looking forward to how Creative Nature expands over the coming years. And I hope you all really enjoyed this episode as much as I did, learning both about her allergy journey and also about her business journey. So I would like to know now, have any of you started businesses? Or are any of you thinking about starting a business? Get in touch. Send me an email. Go to the contact page at the eatallergysafe.com website and let me know if you're thinking about it, or if you've started one, what have you learned, what have you done? And I'd love to share some of these stories on the podcast. You can also catch me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And my social media handle is eatallergysafe. And let me know, have you started one, or do you have a favorite business, a favorite free from business? Please, you know, share them with me, tag them, let me know. And I would love to hear your choices. So that's it for today. Thank you again for joining me. Remember that allergies aren't about missing out. They're about doing things differently.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.